Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
As we continue now our study in Romans chapter 10, you remember that Paul is answering the question about Israel. What about the Jew? Namely, why have so many of those who are members of the national people of God outside the ark of safety when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ? Why have so many Jews failed to believe the gospel? And the answer to that question in chapter 9 was the sovereignty of God. That explains it. That's the bottom line answer. That's the most foundational answer. This is all according to God's eternal plan. But in chapter 10, the answer is human responsibility. The Jews do not believe the gospel, or maybe I should put it this way, the Jews, for the most part, are not possessors of salvation because they refuse to believe the gospel. And in chapter 10, Paul chalks it all up to their own failure, to human responsibility. And so here you have this interesting connection, this interesting relationship between divine sovereignty and human responsibility that perplexes so many people. Because in the minds of some people, if people are truly responsible, then God's absolute sovereignty and salvation could not possibly be true. And to others, if God is sovereign in salvation, then men cannot be fully responsible. It can't be both. But very interestingly and very instructively, Paul deals with both without batting an eye, without flinching, without embarrassment. It's no contradiction as far as Paul is concerned. The contradictions that we often feel must somehow be in our own misunderstandings, because they are certainly not there in the understanding of the Apostle Paul. And so you remember that chapter 10 opens with a statement in verse 1 about Paul's fervent desire for Israel's salvation. In chapter, and verse 2 rather, in his explanation as to why most of the Jews are not saved, it is that they have a zeal without knowledge. In verse 3, they are unsubmitted to God's way of righteousness. And in verse 4, they have rejected Jesus Christ, who alone is the end of the law for righteousness. And then what follows explains verse 4, how Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for those who believe. And so now we read in verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. And here's the message of works righteousness. The words of Moses are quoted from Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 5. And here we find that God says, to his people Israel, don't follow the ways of Egypt, don't follow the ways of Canaan, rather obey the law of God, and if you do, you shall live. Now, what does that mean? Well, on the surface, it might seem to simply be saying, this is a way to extend your life upon the earth. This is the way to keep from destroying yourselves, your lives. This is the way to keep healthy. This is the way to keep safe. Don't follow the Egyptians or the Canaanites. Obey the law of God. If you do, you shall live. But as Paul is employing these words here, they obviously have a spiritual meaning. If you obey the law of God, you shall obtain eternal life. But, as we've already pointed out, and as the Bible tells us again and again, nobody's ever done that. That is the requirement, and it is a promise. But it's a promise given only to show men their inability to earn righteousness. It's another example of the law being our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Now, these words of Moses are actually quoted in the Old Testament as well as here in Romans chapter 10 and the New. They're quoted in Nehemiah 9:29 and in Ezekiel 20, verses 11 and 13 and 21. And as I say, this promise in Leviticus 18 seems to be a promise of physical life more than spiritual life. But I think what it turns out to be is that this promise that may at first glance and by first application apply to physical life becomes an illustration also of spiritual life. And Paul quotes these words as a summary of the prevailing Jewish attitude concerning salvation. Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does these things shall live by them. And most of the Jews in Paul's day interpreted that statement of Moses, and they followed this sentiment, this general prevailing idea, which was extensive throughout their nation, that by keeping the law, by obeying the law of God, a Jew, a covenant-keeping Jew, would earn eternal life. But what's the problem with this message? Well, it's not really a problem with the law as such. The law is holy, just, and good, according to Romans 7:12. But the problem is with man's natural condition. Man is without the spiritual ability to do God's law. And that's why all works religions are forced to scale down the requirements in one way or another, either by focusing primarily on those aspects of religion which are external and ceremonial and accepting that basically as the whole requirement, and men can do that in their own strength. Men can keep ceremonial requirements. They can submit to circumcision, in the case of the Old Testament Jews, and to the various ceremonies that were required by God in the Mosaic Law. And in our day, men can submit to baptism, and they can go through a lot of the ceremonies and rituals that are connected with the Christian religion, or maybe connected with the traditions of various churches. And there are a lot of other external requirements that men can do. And so, many religions, many even corrupted forms of Christianity, will solve the problem of man's inability to keep the law of God by simply reducing its requirements, scaling it down to make it doable, to make it manageable. The Bible promises that if you keep the law, you live. Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. It's obvious that nobody could do all the things that God requires, but if God promises salvation by those who do the things that are contained in the law, it must mean that God will give us credit for a good faith effort if we keep some of the things. And reasoning that way, man will scale down the requirements. Or sometimes, rather than scaling down the requirements, he simply changes the standard from perfection to keeping certain requirements to fulfilling a good faith effort. In other words, if man will be sincere, if he'll do the best he can, God surely will understand, as if God basically grades on a curve, or God grades according to our intentions, not necessarily according to our performance. God isn't so nitpicky. God isn't going to hold us to every detail. God is going to see the intent of our heart, and he'll count our good intentions as being the fulfillment of the law. And therefore, we can earn righteousness. But I keep reminding you over and over, as the Bible reminds us, that when it comes to earning salvation by the law, the standard of God is perfection, and anything less than perfection brings condemnation, brings the penalty of death. Yes. Moses writes, the man who does these things shall live by them. And as stated by Moses, may be only applied to living physically rather than spiritually, but picked up by the other prophets, it did seem to carry a spiritual connotation, a promise to eternal life. And as understood by most Jews, it was thought to be a promise to eternal life. And understood that way, that's fine as long as you don't scale down the standard. The statement is, the man who does those things shall live by them. That is, the man who does all of these things perfectly shall live by them. But anything short of absolute perfection, total and complete fulfillment of all of the requirements of the law, anything short of that then brings the condemnation of the law. And so all of this should bring us to a critical realization that, number one, we are all exceedingly sinful in the eyes of God, because not only have we not kept the required standard perfectly, we haven't even come close. We have failed so far. So much failure in regard to the standard which God requires. And we come to the critical realization that works righteousness is an impossibility for me, for you, for any son of Adam, but just focus upon yourself right now. This is a message to you. And therefore, we are to come to the realization that we are in great need of divine mercy and help. Every one of us. Every one of us. And therefore, the realization we should come to is that Jesus Christ is the only way we can be saved. And in this way, the law becomes our schoolmaster, our pedagogue, to bring us unto Christ. Because this statement about the law bringing life is beyond the ability of any descendant of Adam. The man who does these things shall live by them. Not much good that does me. I haven't done these things. I can't do those things. And by the way, the standard is not only perfection, but the standard is lifelong. In other words, lifelong perfection. A lot of people seem to have the idea that if I could turn over a new leaf, if I can reform, I'm going to obey, I'm going to keep God's law, I'm going to do all the things I'm supposed to do and quit doing all the things I'm not supposed to do from today onward, and that's the way that I'm going to please God. In that way, I'm going to earn salvation. In that way, I'm going to become righteous. Sorry, it's too late. Too late for that. You already blew it the day that you sinned the first time. And unless you can claim perfection from the beginning of your life, from day one onward to the end of your life, there's no way that you can earn salvation by keeping the law. Therefore, realize that it is impossible to earn salvation by works. That's why it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It is that way because there is no other possibility. There is no other way. It is impossible for any son of Adam, any son or daughter of Adam, to earn righteousness by keeping the law of God. So you better not try it that way, because you will never make it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.